very thankful to be here tonight. Been looking forward to this for quite a while. I tell you, Brother Chris knows how to entice a minister to come. He says, "Oh, Brother Adam Green has already agreed to be with us." I said, "Well, I'll be there." And then I said, "Let me pray about it." But thankful to be here. Brother Adam and his family mean so much to me. They've been so good to me. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he's one of my probably greatest friends that I have. And I thank the Lord for that. And I look forward to getting to know y'all. So many of my fellow yoke brethren in the ministry have shared so many great stories about y'all and their love for y'all. I was with Elder James Conley last night at the church that he pastors, and he wanted me to send his love to y'all. He said, "You will enjoy being there so much." And I've just been looking so much to this meeting. If you have your Bibles with you, I really enjoy that preaching. I tell you, whenever the thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," I tell you, I love the scriptures where sinners say, "Lord, remember me." I love it, the prayer of Samson. He says, "Lord, remember me." You know, he had strayed away. He had went after ungodly women. That was his fault in life. But then whenever he suffered the punishment, whenever he suffered the fruit of his failures, he was still able to say, "Lord, remember me." And the Lord remembered him. And I love that. But he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And I love what the Lord didn't say. He didn't say, "Accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart." Did he say that? Did he say, "You have to accept me"? Do you accept me as your personal Savior? Did he say that? Why didn't he say that? Because that wasn't required. Did he have to be baptized to put away his sins? No. Why? Because his sins were put away the same way that ours is. And that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he had by himself purged our sins. Do y'all eat crawfish over here? I don't know. We eat them back home. Like he said, I'm from Louisiana. And I seem to think I'm the best crawfish cook there is. But one of the things that I love about Hebrews 1 and 3 is I can really relate to it. Because before you eat crawfish, you know what you have to do to them to make them fit for the dinner table? You have to purge them. Has anybody who's ever been involved with purging crawfish, have they ever asked the crawfish, "Do you accept this salt water that I'm purging you with?" No. Why? Because I'm the one purging. Same way with the Lord. He didn't ask for us to accept His blood. He just purges us with His blood. He purges our sins because our sins is what was keeping us from being able to be in glory with Him. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go over to John 6:44, one of my dearest verses in the Bible as of late. Now, I tell you, it's so strange being a minister. You drive off this way and you start fretting, you know, man, maybe I hope they don't use me. You know, because you got that unbelief whether the Lord's going to bless you or not. And the Lord truly blessed Brother Adam. And I pray that same grace will continue to be upon us. Not for my sake, but for your sake. I tell you, that's the reason I'm here, is maybe to impart something to you. And not that I have anything, but it's of the Lord. And he says in the 44th verse of John chapter 6, he says, "No man." I want us to examine this very closely. This should be a very precious verse to old Baptists. He says, "No man." Should be a very precious verse to everybody. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me." Now let's understand this. He says, "No man can come to me except." So what that means is, there's no man that can come to Jesus except what he's about to say happens. You understand that? That's very important for us to understand. No man can come to Jesus except what he's about to say has to happen, happens. He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Let me ask you a very important question tonight. Have you come to Jesus? Why are you here tonight? Is it to come to Jesus? Is it to hear a little bit about Him? Is it to learn a little bit about Him? Is it to feel Jesus? I trust it is, because the Bible teaches us that what we're doing tonight is the ministration of the Spirit. And then over there in that same chapter says that Spirit, it says the Lord is that Spirit. So if you come here to feel that Spirit, you know what you come here to feel? You come here to feel Jesus. Amen. And I want God's people to understand that whenever a man of God gets up here and preaches with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, that means that God Himself descends as the Holy Ghost and dwells amongst us. What else do we need? What else do we need, Brother Adam? You know, I heard somebody say this the other day. We would go over there to that church, but they got nothing for the children. I tell you, we got the gospel for the children. We got the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven for the children. But take away that, let's see how that sounds. Worship is about who? It's about God. It ain't about us. It's about God. Whenever I get gas in my car, what's it about? Me getting on down the road a little further, right? Whenever I go to my dry cleaners, what's it about? My clothes being clean. How about if I told y'all, if I told Brother Chris, well, the reason I was late tonight is, you know, me and my son was with me, which I ain't got one, but me and my son was with me, and my gas light came on E, and I seen that gas station over there, but they didn't have nothing for the children, so we just kept on going. I mean, what's that got to do with gas? What's having a slide for a child has to do with gas? What does entertaining the child have to do with gas? Nothing. What does entertaining the child have to do with worshiping God? Nothing. How would it sound if I said, you know, that's the best dry cleaners over. You know, y'all say, but Danny, why is your coat always wrinkled and semi-clean? I said, well, the best dry cleaners is over here, but they got all the activities for the children over here where they don't do a real good job, so we go over here. What are you going to think? That man don't care about his clothing too much, does he? If you let things like that determine where you're going to try to worship God, you're not putting God where God is. And oh my God, that we would have the audacity to teach our children that it's appropriate to sit in a pew and be quiet as we worship the God of heaven and earth who saved us from hell. How dare we have the audacity to say that this is a solemn assembly and this is one time that you don't matter, this is one time that I don't matter, this is one thing in their life that revolves around God, and you're going to sit there and be quiet unless you're crying, that's okay. But you're going to listen to the preacher and you're going to learn about Jesus. Yeah. Brother Danny, but they just don't understand. And they, you know, they're so young, they need you to get right up on them and teach them, because they just don't understand that preaching. I was up in Missouri one time, and I was preaching and talked about the power of God a little bit. And as y'all can tell, sometimes I get excited, you know. And I made this, I came out from behind the pulpit and I said, God is powerful. And this little three-year-old, his grandmother took him and told me later, his little three-year-old told his grandmother, Mama, God's powerful. That touched my heart. We didn't have to have Sunday school about that. We didn't have to have a special Bible class. No, we had to have the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven the way that God prescribed it. But it says, no man. This is what should be special to us. It says, no man can come to me, Brother Adam, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And if you've ever bowed down on your knees and prayed to God, that's coming to the Lord. If you've ever tried to make your life revolve around Jesus, that's coming to the Lord. If you ever tried to stop sinning, that's coming to the Lord. If you've ever done any of those things, that's coming to the Lord. And what does that mean? That this except that he's talking about has happened to you. Has any of those things been your experience in life? Have you prayed to God today? I hope you have. Us preachers need it. I tell you, I've been praying for this meeting a while. But if you have, that means that's an evidence that you've come to Jesus. And look why he says you've come to him. Because my Father, which had sent me, drew him. You can't come to Jesus except God has drawn you to him. Why is that so special to me? Little brothers and sisters, little children of God, I want you to understand, if you're here to see Jesus tonight, it is because God has thought about you. And not only has he thought about you, but it's because he has put his Spirit within you, personally, individually. Oh my goodness, it means he loves you. It says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How do I know that Jesus loves me? How do I know that God loves me? Have I been drawn to him? If I have, he loves me with an everlasting love. Little child of God, we need to understand in our lives that God cares for you. He's been loving you before you were you. An everlasting love. And the fact that you're here to see him tonight is an evidence that he loves you. And it's an evidence that he has drawn you, that he has born you of his Spirit. That's the reason you're here. Because he says, except that happens, you can't be seeking after him. Oh my goodness, that means that God, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who said, let there be a cow and something moved. I love saying that. You know what I mean? There wasn't a cow before he said cow, okay? The one that has all that power loves me. He loves you. Does that not do something to you? I tell you, I like to be loved. I really do. That's the reason I come amongst the old Baptists. Before I knew the love, before I knew the Lord, I just wanted to be accepted, Brother Chris. I did a lot of foolish things to be accepted. And then I come to the house of God, to God's people, and realize I didn't have to do nothing to be accepted. They wanted me just like I was, because they were like me too. Sinners saved by grace and thankful that the Lord did it. I tell you, that's why I love the church. But I'm going to tell you, our love doesn't save people. Okay? It doesn't save people. The only one who really matters loves us. The one with all power loves us. Oh, that does something to my soul. And sometimes us old Baptists, we get the eternal aspect of it. Okay, he loves me, so he saved me, and I'm going to hell, and that's where his love, I'm going to heaven. Excuse me. I have been behind the wheel for a little while, okay? Man, y'all got a lot of state troopers in Florida. Y'all really do. The law is my enemy today. But I want us to understand that God cares about your activity today. Do you understand that? That God cares what you do today. That God thinks about what you do today. That God is aware, and whenever you do right, he rejoices. That's Bible. Go over to Luke chapter 15. I won't be long. Let's go to Luke 15. But you know, we need to know. I tell you, I had a wreck last week. And got some things in the mail that just humbled me to the very core. Brothers and sisters found out I had a wreck. And it just humbled me it almost made me feel ashamed. But the motivating factor behind their gifts and their cards and their letters and all that was love. And I realized, not that the card means anything or the other things that they sent, but what motivated that was love. And it made me feel so humbled to know that my brothers and sisters in Christ that I love and I try to preach to, and their peace and joy and comfort, I want them to have. I want them to experience it to the fullest, that they feel the same about me. abortion, and they call me. They send me a card. They send me a text. They inquire about my well-being. That made me feel so good. How about God with that? Over in Luke 15, let's go over there. This is some of the dearest verses in the Bible to me in a timely way. We read over here, the Lord in the fourth verse says this, and I try to preach this everywhere I go because it's so special. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you," listen to what the Word of God just says, "I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I believe this is talking about whenever a little child of God is out in the world and they're convicted of their sins and they come into the church and they repent of the things that they have been doing. Repent is the key, okay? Repentance means stop doing it and turn the other way around. Repenting doesn't mean I'm sorry, okay? It's what you do with that sorrow. You got to be sorry to quit doing it, but what do you do with that sorrow? Okay? You know, I've heard people say, "Well, he's sorry for adultery." Well, he's still with the woman. That's not repentance. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You can be sorry about it, but where are you still at? Have you turned? But he says, when one sinner, when one little child of God gives up the evil and chooses the good, look what he says. He says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." I want you to understand, when one little child of God lets go to the back of the pew and finally comes up and joins the church, there's rejoicing in heaven. Not in the kingdom of heaven, which it is, but in heaven itself. Who's in heaven? God. What does that mean? That means that God is concerned with our activity. That you choosing good over evil makes God rejoice. Isn't that amazing? Not a whole church full. Not a whole everybody at work. Sinner. I can just picture it. That the day that I joined the church, they were saying, "Hallelujah." I mean, can't you picture that? Now look what it says. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and sift diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You say, "Brother Danny, that's just like the last one there. Why'd you have to read that?" It's not. I believe that first one is talking about a little child of God that was out in the world and repents of that and comes home to the church. I believe that second one, it says that she lost that piece of silver. Where did she lose it? In the house. What's this? It's the house. Not because it's a beautiful building, which it is, and I commend you on that. But if we were up under an oak tree, this would be the house of God, because that's what we're gathered together. And sometimes we can get here at 10:30, we can sing Amazing Grace and go eat fried chicken, and we'd be lost in the house. You ever been like that? You ever been where you come to church and people are rejoicing, people are crying, people are being convicted, and you say, "That preacher can't preach a lick"? You think it's the preacher? Sorry, Brother Chris. Keep on pointing at him. Or do you think it maybe it's Brother Danny? You know, sometimes, even as a minister, I come to the house of God and I'm lost. I'm lost. I hadn't been reading my Bible as I ought. I hadn't been praying as I ought. I'm seeking comfort in other things, and I'm lost. But I want to tell you this. Whenever that little piece of silver realizes their ways and convicting their hearts, and they put down the evil, and they say, you know what? I'm going to quit watching that ungodly television. You know what? I'm going to quit watching those things that glorify fornication. You know what? I'm going to quit listening to that stuff that only glorifies drunkenness and fornication. Hey, it ain't got to be rap music. If it's country music and they're glorifying fornication, don't listen to it. Daniel purposed in his heart not to partake of the things that would defile his body. Let us purpose in our heart not to partake of the things that would defile us. Because I'm going to tell you, people say it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. My brother Ricky Hargrove said, he said he come to a meeting one time, and I'll share his faults, not mine, Brother Adam. He said he come to a meeting one time, and he had to preach, and he was sitting on the back row, and he's trying to get a subject in his mind, and all he could think of was, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. It happens. It happens. Why? If he hadn't listened to that, it wouldn't have been there. You know? I pray whenever I'm about to preach, Lord, take away those things that I have let in. I'll tell you, I was raised, I love to watch television. My flesh loves it. That's one of my hindrances. I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying those are things we need to identify. If that's killing my spirit, if I spend 4 hours in the television and no time in my Bible, am I going to be a stronger fleshy man or stronger spiritual man? And what I want you to understand, what the Bible says, whenever you realize where your weaknesses are and you put down the spiritual chocolate cake and pick up the spiritual carrot or salad. Hey, I'm big, so everything's food related, right? But whenever you pick up the spiritual carrot or the spiritual slam fast, so to speak, whenever you put down that spiritual chocolate cake and pick up the spiritual carrot, whenever you turn from the evil, whenever you turn from the things that's corrupting your church life, whenever you turn from the things that's drowning out your spiritual sensitivity, and you leave those things alone, and you seek after the Spirit of God, and you pray to God, and you read God's Word, and you're actually sensitive to what's going on behind the pulpit, the Word of God said there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God. Who's in the presence of the angels of God? God. The only way that can happen is if God cares about you. Think about that. Whatever your name is, I'm going to pick on Brother Chris. Whenever Brother Chris says, I need to stop doing that, and he stops doing it, this is the way I picture it, Brother Chris, and you start doing the right thing. We all got places we need to repent of, don't we? I stop sinning every day, then I get out of bed. But whenever Brother Chris says, I'm not going to do that anymore, and he stops doing it, and he starts doing the opposite, which is the good, I picture as they're being rejoicing and them saying, hallelujah! Brother Chris laid it down! He's seeking the good. And there's rejoicing over his repentance. It's important for us to know that God cares about us. Let's go over to John chapter 6 again, and I'll sit down. I didn't finish that verse. I left out the best part. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Brothers and sisters, if you find yourself wanting to get closer to God, that is an evidence that when the Lord comes back and he gives that great shout, that you're going to be raised up and be in heaven forever with him. That you're going to be in the very paradise of God, because Jesus is there, his reason is the paradise. Let's go to John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. One of the sweetest verses in the Bible to me. I used to be scared of it because it said believeth. But you know, believeth is one of the most precious things that we have in this world. Because you realize what it just said? He that believeth on me hath. Not he'll get, but he hath everlasting life. I got a couple very important questions for you right now. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he led a perfect life 33 and a half years? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you and me? Do you believe that he was raised up the third day and is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now? You know what I say to you? Rejoice, because you're going to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Do we lay hold of the promises of God like that? Brothers and sisters, if you believe, that means you're going to heaven. It's not the reason, but it's the very evidence. It's the very evidence that you're going to heaven. Wow! We're able to lay hold of that right now. Oh, you see why it's so important to realize that if you're coming to the Lord, it's because he has drawn you. And it means he's going to raise you up at the last day. And you're going to be in heaven with God forever. Thank you for your contents, Tom. God bless you.